I want this to be the first thing you hear me say. Love Christ supremely, not your system. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus warned a doctrinally faithful, biblically based church in Ephesus. I have something against you. Because you have left your first love, Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. And because the church at Ephesus ceased to love Jesus Christ, the Lord threatened to come quickly and remove their candlestick out of its place, Revelation 2, 5. And to lose the light of the love of Christ is to cease to be a church. Jesus told us the greatest of all commandments, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, namely this: "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Mark 12, 30 and 31. Christ Baptist Church, always be in love with Jesus Christ. Do what you do out of deep love for Christ. And here's a good gauge. If we love Christ, do we love each other? Do we love each other? Sometimes in an attempt at doctrinal precision and biblical fidelity, love can be forgotten. Always let genuine heartfelt love for Jesus and sacrificial love for one another be the fuel behind every single thing you undertake as a church. Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." John 13, 25. I've been here one other time on vacation. This is my first time in the pulpit. But as I walk into this church, there's love. It's bright. It's welcoming. It's open. This is a loving congregation. That will always be if you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Love Him supremely. Number two, respect God-given authority. In the same passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 2, after Jesus sharply rebuked this church and threatened to remove their candlestick, He had an encouraging word to say to them. He said, "You have this for you, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans." Revelation 2:6. Nicolaitans is a word which means to conquer the people. And some commentators believe that this was a group in the church that were seeking to usurp Christ, and thus God-given pastoral leadership in the church. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But for now, know this. When a God-called, God-sent man is in the pulpit, and he loves Christ, and he loves the sheep, and he loves the Word, you're to love him. And you're to follow his lead. This is the key to unity and peace in the Lord's church. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 17 of your pastors, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as one that must give an account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." As Brother David said, I've been with him for over 19 years now, and I've been in every scenario and every possible situation, good, bad, and unbelievably horrible. I've been in every scenario and situation with Brother David that you can be in, and I've never known him to be anything other than a man of God. A man of the highest character, a man of the highest integrity. Christ Baptist Church, you're blessed to have this man as your pastor. Follow his lead. Number three, strive to maintain biblical unity. Strive to maintain biblical unity. Ephesians 4 says this: "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbear one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, Ephesians 4, 2 through 4. But he says that we're to endeavor, in verse 3, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. And that word endeavoring is spedazo in the Greek, and it means to do your very best. To do your very best to maintain biblical unity in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us what those unities are. There's seven. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. It is doctrine that unifies us. True doctrine never divides true sheep. Now, it will root out the goats. But true doctrine strengthens and unifies the saved. And as a church, you must expend the very best of your energies and efforts to maintain biblical fidelity and unity around sound Bible doctrine, which we believe is Baptist doctrine. This is a Bible church. This is a Baptist church. And we're unapologetic about that. It's who we are. We unapologetically embrace the Baptist faith and message and rally and unify around that truth. Number four, walk in gospel humility. Walk in gospel humility. Again, the passage I just read, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 says, you should walk with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. The Apostle Peter said it this way. He says, let all of you be subject one to another. Listen to this. Be clothed with humility. We all put on clothes today. Peter said, be clothed with humility. Here's why. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. The gospel of Jesus Christ, faithfully preached, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, faithfully followed, will break you of pride. It will fill you with love. It will cause you to be patient with one another. And look, whenever you grow impatient, whenever you become critical-spirited, whenever you're tempted to complain and murmur, you're walking in pride, not in humility. And God will actively resist you. God resists the proud, but gives His grace to the humble. A lot of things I could say about this, but one key ingredient to learning gospel humility is coming to terms with the doctrine of election and predestination and salvation. Our Baptist forefathers understood this. Listen to what they said, Article 5 of the Baptist Faith and Message. Election is the gracious purpose of God, according to which He regenerates, justifies, sanctifies, and glorifies sinners. It's consistent with the free agency of man. It comprehends all the means in connection with the end. It's the sovereign display of God's goodness and is infinitely wise, holy, and unchangeable. The doctrine of election excludes boasting and it promotes humility. Let me say that again. The doctrine of election excludes boasting and it promotes humility. Brother David, do not shy away from the doctrine of election. It will be the anvil upon which God breaks this church and fashions you into His image. Humility is the key to every other thing the Lord sanctifies in this church. Walk in gospel humility. Number five. If you've ever heard me preach long at all, you're going to hear this all the time. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine. And brother Howe, I hope you'll hold the line there. We are non-drinking people. Amen. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled, pleroo in the Greek, it means to be controlled. It means to come under the sway, the influence, the control of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. As a church, don't rely upon worldly wisdom. Resist the temptation to rest on common sense. Don't rule the church by personal opinion or conventional wisdom. Be overseen and led and controlled and guided by the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. He guides us by the Word He inspired. Listen to me. Every problem that every church in every age has ever had has come because a member or a pastor ceased to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and became controlled by anger, by pride, by flesh, by hatred, selfish ambition, or selfish agendas. Dear church, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Brother David will teach you more about that and what it means in the days to come. But listen to your Lord. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Be filled with the Spirit. Number six, if you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Told you we'd move quick. Be a Bible-driven church. Be a Bible-driven church. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul said to Timothy, and it's not amazing how much of this teaching revolves around the church at Ephesus. Revelation 2 was to Ephesus. We've read two passages from Ephesians. And now Paul's writing to the church at Ephesus and its pastor, Timothy. And he says in 1 Timothy 3:15, if I tarry long, Timothy, I've written these things to you that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, listen to this, the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you ask me for my definition of the church, that's it. The church is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of truth. Not the pillar and the ground of smoke machines. Not the pillar and the ground of entertainment. Not the pillar and the ground of cutting edge music. The church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be the pillar and the ground of truth. In Jude 3, we're told to earnestly contend for that truth, for the faith once delivered to the saints. In Romans 4:3, we ask this question all the time. What saith the Scriptures? That's what we ask ourselves all the time. What does the Bible say? Christ Baptist Church must be the one place in Rutherford County that people know. If you go there, you're going to hear the truth. And Brother David Brown must be the one man in town that people say, if you speak to that man, you are going to hear the truth. I've invested almost 20 years into your pastor, teaching and modeling in front of him verse by verse expository ministry and preaching. Brother David is an able, capable expositor in his own right. He preached Wednesday night an introduction to the book of Jonah, best I've ever heard. I was edified, I was strengthened, I was encouraged. I left that meeting a better Christian because of what my brother preached. Brother David, I know you have, and I know you will, anchor this church to Bible truth alone, sola scriptura. It's not only the battle of the Reformation cry, it's the battle of this church's cry, sola scriptura. Never depart away from the truth of the Word of God. Always be a Bible-driven church. Number seven, and I know I alluded to it, but it needs a point of its own. Always, as a church, rest in the absolute sovereignty of God. Always rest in the absolute sovereignty of God. Psalm 135, I read it just this past week, verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that He did in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep places. Let me ask you, if God decides to do something, who can stop Him? Isn't that the point? Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways are past finding out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? Who has first given to God, and it will not be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Romans 11:33 through 36. There are many. But if you ask me for the doctrine that has most impacted my life since I have been saved, and if you ask me for the doctrine that has most deeply impacted Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church, it's the doctrine of God's absolute sovereignty. Sovereignty is the biblical teaching that God is the source of all creation and that all things come from Him and depend upon Him. Sovereignty means that God is in all and over all. That nothing, absolutely nothing happens apart from the will and the moving of God. Sovereignty is the pillow upon which Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church rests her weary and often persecuted soul. Christ Baptist Church, plumb the depths of God's sovereignty. Do not fear. Launch out into the deep waters of grace and never look back. The sovereignty of God. Number 8. You must insist upon a regenerate church membership. That is, that people must be saved and they must be scripturally baptized before they're added to the church. In Acts chapter 2, the very first church that came into existence, the church at Jerusalem. It says in Acts 2:41, those who gladly received the word of God were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. And he tells us in verse 47 who the them is. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Bring people into your church the right way. Use the Scripture to do your very best to determine if they've been born again, if they've truly been saved. Make sure that they've been scripturally baptized. And here's what we mean by scripturally baptized. That they're baptized after salvation by immersion in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Take time up front to counsel with people about salvation, about their soul, and they'll be more likely to stay with you and be a contributing member and a part of the service here and a part of sharing the Great Commission with this world and less likely to cause trouble. Continue your membership information class. That's something that God led Brother David and I to do right up front at Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church. And brother, I think you'd agree it saved us. Number 9. By the way, are you still with me? Amen. All right. Practice church discipline. J.L. Dagg, D-A-G-G, was the first writing systematic theologian of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I want to quote him. He said, quote, "When discipline leaves the church, Jesus goes with it." End of quote. Church, don't fear bringing discipline upon members who forsake the assembly. Hebrews 10:25. Don't fear bringing discipline upon the lives of those who live in open, scandalous, unrepentant paths of sin. You simply cannot be a biblical church and true to your Lord unless you obey His direct word to you in Matthew 18:15-20. And I hope you'll read that later. Church discipline is one of the keys to Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church being the church she is today. Paul warns, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You ladies understand that with yeast. 1 Corinthians 5:6, just one pinch of yeast will leaven the whole dough. And sin left undisciplined in the body of Christ will spread like cancer and consume the witness of Jesus Christ in the church. So we're under divine injunction. We must follow our Lord in the practice of church discipline. Number 10, insist upon biblical standards for leadership. You have no choice if you're going to be the Lord's church. For elders and pastors, sometimes called bishops, it's 1 Timothy 3:1-8. It's Titus 1:6-9. A man must not, this is not suggestions, God's not saying here's some rosy-colored ideas, no. For a man to be an elder in the church, he must meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. For deacons, it's 1 Timothy 3:9-16. Never fudge here. Hold these standards true and sure, and make sure that a pastor's wife and a deacon's wife equally qualify him to the ministry, 1 Timothy 3:11. Brother David, I think you would agree with me, just like the membership information class, this is one of those things 19 years ago we insisted on right up front, and would you agree it has saved us? Over and over and over again. People ask me all the time, what's the secret to the unity, the peace, the love, the joy we experience when we come to Shelbyville Mills? Biblically qualified leadership. No church ever rises above its leadership, ever. So you have to hold the line where the Scripture holds it. Number 11, have biblical small groups. We find this principle throughout the Bible. But because I'm limited on time, Acts 2:46 says that they were meeting in the temple, and then they broke from the temple from house to house and ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 2:46. So they were assembling together as a church in Solomon's porch, and then they broke down into small groups from house to house. And I would say this, spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, spiritual ministry will take place through small groups. You don't need to look at Brother David as your hired gun to do all the ministry. But instead, you have to have an every member ministry mindset. And that is, every member of the church is responsible to minister on behalf of Jesus Christ. In Exodus chapter 18, Jethro introduced Moses to small groups, and it saved Moses' ministry. And this is the way the body uses its spiritual gifts to serve each other. There's not a man that walks the planet that knows small groups better than David Brown. David Brown knows small groups inside and out. Follow his lead here. And brother, let me be just a little nosy. I don't know if I've got any weight or not, but let me throw it around if I do. Start Sunday night services as soon as you can. That's just a little asterisk. That's free. Number 12. One word. Tithe. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 23:23, everybody says, well, Jesus never taught tithing. That always grieves me. Jesus effectively said in Matthew 23:23, do not leave tithing undone. And let me say something to you, Christ Baptist Church. Brother David, your pastor, has already said it, but you guys have a great debt. Everything around you, everything you see, has been bought and paid for by the tithes of God's people. Everything you enjoy has come to you through the tithes and the offerings of God's people. For this church to thrive and be all that Christ has commanded you to be, each of you are going to have to faithfully bring your tithes and offerings to Jesus as an act of worship through your local church. Number 13, personalized world missions. Of course, this is the great commission of Jesus Christ, and you're commanded to participate. You've been given much. This church has been built, as I said, upon the gifts of other churches obeying the Great Commission. I challenge you to participate, as Brother David did this morning, in the faith commitment offering for world missions over and above your tithes and offerings. And I challenge you as a church to raise up pastors, raise up missionaries, raise up evangelists to go out and carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I challenge you as a board member of Anchored in Truth to come alongside Anchored in Truth. You guys are receiving monthly help from Anchored in Truth. Join in with us. Join in with Anchored in Truth as we seek to plant biblical pastors and biblical churches literally all over the world. Christ Baptist, this is the cloth you've been cut out of. This is your birthright. This is your calling from Jesus Christ. Personalized world missions. Number 14, pray. Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, my house shall be called what? The house of prayer. Don't depend upon methods. Turn to God in prayer. Turn to God in faith. We've just learned at Shelbyville Mills to turn our worry list into our prayer list. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Here's all I'll say. As a church, you should expect no more than what you trust God in prayer for. You should expect no more than what you trust God in prayer for. Number 15. Trust Jesus Christ to build His church. That's why I started this message with that text, Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock, not Peter, but the rock of truth that Peter had just quoted, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Christ Baptist Church, you should be aggressive in evangelism. You should promote your fellowship. You should believe in your church enough to promote it and invite people and want them to be here. You should be aggressive in reaching out and trying new ways to contact people to bring them to your fellowship. But here's my warning. Never rely upon the flesh or fleshly techniques to grow the church. Always rely upon the means He has ordained. And what are they? Prayer. The preaching of the Word. Evangelism. Missions. Trust that Jesus Christ will do what He said. I will build my church. And I constantly remind myself of this. Jesus did not say, "I will build your church." Neither did He say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church." And we must trust Jesus Christ to build His church. Number 16. I told you we'd move quick. Understand that your most precious resource is your pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. "And we beseech you, brethren," speaking of your pastor, "to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." And here's the tangible fruit you reap if you do this. Peace among yourselves. Peace among yourselves. Jesus reveals the way to have peace in the church. Know your pastor. That word "know" is an intimate knowledge. It means to know intimately. It means to know deeply. Know his needs. Know his spiritual state. Know his well-being. Know his weaknesses. It says know him. He says you need to know that what your pastor does is labor. It means to toil to the point of exhaustion. It says you need to know that he's over you in the Lord. It speaks of practicing and maintaining godly rule and order in the church. God has invested the rule of his church in the elders of the church, the pastors of the church. Know that it's the job of the pastor to admonish you. Noutheteo. We get our word noutheteks from that word. It means to take the word of God and preach it to bring it to bear on your mind, which is the word repentance. So it brings about change in your mind and your will and your direction and your thinking. That's how God grows people. That's how God grows a church, through the admonishing work of the pastor teacher. And know that, as it says, God expects you to esteem Him very highly. Hypers, we would say it in the Greek. Hyper esteem Him in love. For his work's sake. Brother Gary knows, he's been with me when I've done this before. That's a message all in and of itself. I preach an entire message just on that. So obviously I don't have time to do that. So just a few bullet points. Are you with me? Number one, pay him well so that he doesn't have to worry about money. I know so many pastors that can't be given to the ministry because they're always worried about making ends meet. Now we're coming under you and we're helping you for 3 years. But we expect you to take care of your pastor. That's your first look. Before you send a mission team, before you do an evangelism program, before you are focused out yonder, you got to first pay your missionary here. Number two, follow his lead. Make pastoring a joy, not grief. Hebrews 13:17. Number three, I just had a conversation with a pastor just this past week. It's so prevalent, pandemic among pastors. They don't take their time off. They don't take their Sabbath rests. They don't take their breaks. Honor your pastor's day off. It's been the salvation of my ministry. Give him breaks. Give him sabbaticals to rest and refuel. Pay for him to go to conferences so he can be spiritually challenged. I think you have been or you're going to David Miller's conference coming up. Brother, even though you're going to know most of what they say, Lisa, you get to go to that or not? Okay. You'll come back enriched, Brother David, and challenged. Give him a study, conference, retreat, expense account for enrichment. And here's the last thing I'll say. Don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't receive baseless accusations against your pastor. There is a way to discuss things with the pastor. There is a way to talk with the pastor. But behind the scenes and closed-door meetings and chatter, chatter, chatter is not the way to do it. The Bible says, do not receive an accusation against your pastor, but before the presence of two or three witnesses. That's a good way to destroy your church. He says, when you know your pastor, when you recognize that he's laboring, nobody works harder than David Brown. First one at the office in the morning, last one to leave. Hard worker. Never one time did I look over my shoulder to wonder if his job was going to be done. Not one time. You need to know that he's a laborer. You need to understand that he's over you in the Lord. It's his job to admonish you. And that's a weighty thing. And you're to esteem him highly in love for his work's sake. And number 17, I close with a word to Brother David. And here it is. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. When Brother David came to me in the season that he described before I came to preach this morning, when he got back off of that Africa trip and came to my office and shared with me that he believed that God had called him to preach, and he believed that God had called him to plant this church, Christ Baptist Church, I'll tell you this, I didn't have a doubt in my mind that God was in it, that he was called, that he was capable, that he'd been trained, that he knew the truth, and that he would do what Paul said, hold forth the word of life, that he would preach the word of God. So Christ Baptist Church, your sister affirms you and loves you and recognizes you as a church, and I'm going to tell you right now, we've given you our very best. There's a lot of things we've given to Anchored in Truth. There's a lot of things we've given to men on the field. There's a lot of resources and time and energy over the last 20 years that we have tried to serve others. But in giving you Brother David, we gave you the best we have. A part of our own pastoral staff of 20 years. What a stewardship. And how I pray that you recognize that and honor the man of God that God has given to you. I want to lead us in prayer, and then Brother David, I have a couple of presentations I'd like to make on behalf of Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church. Lord, these 17 things, and there could have just as easily been 1,700, but Father, I've just tried to be obedient to the Spirit of God and the things that I believe, Lord, are crucial and essential and non-negotiables about what a church must be if it's going to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, the land is flooded. The land is absolutely flooded with buildings that call themselves churches. Oh, but God, the land is starving for true biblical churches faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are with great joy to be a part of this one. And I pray that this church would be filled with the Spirit and led by the Word, loving, gracious, tender, compassionate, bold, all the qualities and the characteristics and the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ would rest on this church. That all the spiritual gifts would be manifested here for this to be a well-rounded, healthy, vibrant church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that this church would not merely survive, but we pray that this church would thrive and be a lighthouse, a soul-saving station right here in Rutherford County, Tennessee, for the glory of our great God. And we make our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Brother David, would you come? Brother, the first thing that we want to present to you is the deed to your property. It is yours. It is y'all's. Is that a word, y'all's? It's y'all's. Amen. For Christ Baptist Church. And then this was drawn up by Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church. This day, April 14th, 2019, Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church formally recognizes Christ Baptist Church as a fully autonomous local church under her head, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Ephesians 5:23. The church is the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. This day we challenge and commission Christ Baptist Church to be the pillar and the ground of the truth in Middle Tennessee and throughout the world by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Signed this day by the pastors and deacons of Shelbyville Mills Baptist Church, and the pastors have signed, and all the deacons of the church have affixed their signature to it. And brother, we recognize Christ Baptist Church as an autonomous Baptist church for the glory of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I love you, brother.
Love you, brother.
Amen.
Thank you.